we were talking about birthdays. I was really interested that it said nobody put up their hands for birthday today, but this is the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, everybody. This is our birthday. Yay. It is actually the birthday of the church, literally today. This is the day. You know, up till now, there was the death of Jesus, and that caused great confusion and fear amongst the disciples. They really wondered what was going on. They'd seen the placard, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, up on the placards in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. King of the Jews was written in a very satirical sort of way, cynical sort of way, but they knew in their hearts he had a crown of thorn on his head, but he deserved a royal crown. And so there was pain and there was fear and there was confusion. What was actually happening? And when they first followed Jesus, the first thing he said to them was, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And we've been singing about the kingdom today. So what's happening? They began to ask Jesus when they saw him after his resurrection. And he said to them, "Look, it's not for you, it's not for me to know God's times and seasons. Father God has his plans, but I am going to ask the Father for a special gift for you, a gift he's promised. And you remember what John the Baptist said? He baptizes with water, but one is coming who will baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. That Holy Spirit fire is going to come. You don't go witnessing, you don't go preaching, you don't go teaching or doing anything else or healing until the Holy Spirit comes." And you know, that's a word for us as well, because we can't. If you look at the mandate that's on us, it's useless, it's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why we have to celebrate today. Today is the day when that gift was released, and it's now available to every Christian. Now, I can remember way back in the dim, dark ages when I couldn't have preached a sermon like this. I was so hungry to hear it. Graham and I used to go from church to church wishing somebody would teach us about this stuff, because we were so hungry to hear about it. But it was such a no-no, and there was so much fear that even churches where we'd heard that the pastor had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he seemed to be muzzled and afraid to speak. Now, those days are past, and we're living in days of spiritual freedom. We have to celebrate it. So I just find it such a privilege to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. No holds barred, because this was something that when I was 18 or 19, I longed for somebody to talk about, and we waited for nearly 10 years, and it wasn't until we were in India that we heard people actually daring to speak openly and teach us these things. And we sat on the edges of our seats. We had tiny babies. We had little tiny toddlers. But we were at every meeting day and night. The babies would be with us. The babies also, I think, came under anointing. It was so powerful. And it was just such a privilege to learn. So I'm privileged to share. Jesus said, and this has always been the verse of my life, "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." In other words, widening and widening circles. So it started for them in Jerusalem, because that was the place that they used to meet for worship. And the Bible says that they were gathered there for prayer. After 40 days after Jesus rose, remember, he went into heaven, and then there was another 10 days. And those 10 days, they went back to Jerusalem and spent most of their time praying together. And I'm sure in those 10 days, there were a lot of things being put right, things sorted out. I think that's true, because it says that they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, there was no estrangement, no unforgiveness, no messy business going on. They seemed to sort that stuff out, because there'd been plenty of that. Remember all the jealousy that there'd been, the rivalry, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? All that sort of talk, it seemed to be all being dealt with. All the fear, the cowardice, the silly mistakes they'd made, all those things, forgiveness, grace began to flow as they met together. And then, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all in one place, and suddenly there was this roaring sound, this wind. We have a little cartoon in our laundry area, and it says, "Amazing technology, wind and solar." We do this because our students sometimes forget that there is a very good natural technology and they just want to use the dryer. So it has a clothesline, has the wind blowing and the sun shining, and this is the most amazing technology. It'll dry your clothes, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this amazing technology does lots of other things as well. As we know, wind and solar energy is being more and more what we need to have. And this was how God was revealing his power to his people. The powerful wind, that mysterious force that we are very blessed with here in Wellington. The sun, which we love to be blessed with from time to time. And these beautiful, beautiful natural ways in which God's power is revealed are just a picture of the Holy Spirit's power. And this is what came on them. Tongues of fire on their heads. And they found themselves able to speak in other languages. Now, because it was Pentecost, that's a big festival, one of the three main festivals where the Jewish people were supposed to come to Jerusalem. For this festival, there were people gathered from all their known world. And their first language was often some other language, whether it was from, as it says here, Mesopotamia or Judea or Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. In other words, whether it was Arabic or Syrian or whether it was Turkish or something else, Greek or Hebrew or Latin, whatever the language, people could hear the wonderful praises of God in their own language. And they were a bit confused. I've never found this in they speak three languages in Jerusalem, but this is amazing. These people are speaking all of our languages. It's a very heartwarming thing to find your own language being spoken in a place where you don't normally hear it. Our ears are attuned to hear our own language. That's our heart language. And they were delighted but amazed. What's going on here? Other people just looked at them, and it wasn't the language that impressed them. It was the fact that these people just seemed ecstatic. They were so full of joy. They just were bubbling out. They've got to be drunk. They've got to be drunk. So at this point, as they burst out into the streets, not able to contain their joy and their delight, it was a bit like another baptism. You know, when you're baptized in water, you go down into the water. When you come out, you're not the same. For a start, you're thoroughly wet. You look different. Your clothes drip from you. Your hair is all dripping down. You are wet. You're thoroughly wet. And it's symbolic also of the fact that you're washing away the old stuff, washing away the old life, the old loyalties. Well, what about baptism in the Holy Spirit? I believe that's got to be just as obvious. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will know it. It's very, very dramatic. We're going to ask a few people shortly to explain what it was for them. And I imagine there'll be some diversity there because God is incredibly creative, no two snowflakes are the same, and no two experiences of God are exactly the same either, because he prepares his gift of the Holy Spirit differently for each one of us. So this was the day of the fulfillment of the prophecy that the Holy Spirit, new power to witness, new power to do all the things that they knew that they were going to have to do according to what Jesus had told them. He had said, you are to heal the sick, you are to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And how could they do any of these things? Only by Jesus, his Holy Spirit, living within them. And he said, this is how you are going to be my witnesses. And the word witness is a very interesting word, because that word witness is today in English the word martyr. In other words, being a witness for Jesus isn't always easy. And sometimes we think it's going to be so easy, it isn't for everybody. And certainly the people of China, as much as any nation on earth, know that being a witness for Jesus can involve being a martyr. And in fact, in the last few years, we've had more people dying for their faith in Jesus, more people dying for witnessing to him than in any time in recorded history. We remain relatively free of that. As we were discussing in our home group, probably one of the last worst things we would face would be mockery or scorn or rejection. But believe me, there are many, many, many places in the world now where people are giving their whole life, their ultimate life, for witnessing for Jesus. So the pattern is to obey him and leave the consequences with God. And that's something that I believe God wants us all to learn. Trust me, move out in faith, leave the consequences with me. And that includes whether the person's going to be healed or not, what's going to happen to them. If he asks you to go and pray with the person, let's go and pray and leave the consequences with him. Whatever it is he asks us to do, it's the important thing he's asking of us is obeying him and allowing his Holy Spirit just to flow out through us. And so the gospel came, first of all, to Jerusalem. Not too long after that, the Holy Spirit was poured out in the same way to a whole bunch of Gentiles. Remember the Roman centurion, Cornelius, and all of his friends and family, maybe 100 or so of them, gathered together, and the Holy Spirit came on them. And they also spoke in other languages. And it was exactly the same thing, which amazed the people back in Jerusalem. You mean God is doing this with the Gentiles too? Indeed he was, and we are amongst the Gentiles who can say, well, for us, Pentecost maybe started with a Cornelian Pentecost of Gentiles. And then not long after that, the Holy Spirit was poured out amongst the Samaritan people, a great outpouring amongst them. And then sometime after that, when the gospel began to be preached in Asia Minor, it was preached in Turkey, and the Holy Spirit was poured out there as well. There was a group of people, I think it said 12 people, and they'd heard about John the Baptist. They'd been baptized in water. They knew they had to repent from their sins, but they didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul explained to them, prayed for them, and they also spoke in tongues and praised God and were completely immersed in the power of the Lord. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? It's a gift. It's not something you earn. Some people think we need to have sort of a certain number of brownie points when I've become really holy. The amazing thing is that he doesn't, how can I put this? He doesn't give us the Holy Spirit when we become holy. He gives us the Holy Spirit to make us holy, to change us, to give us the power to be holy. And that works inwardly in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And believe me, I'm sure you'll have that experience. When I received the Holy Spirit, outwardly, the first thing that happened for me, somebody laid hands on me, and it was like electric volts and volts of electricity, zap, zap, zap through me. And for days after that, it was like walking in heaven. I was just walking along in sort of pink clouds of glory. And just the love of Jesus was so strong on me that just thinking about any person would fill my eyes with tears, because I somehow had a revelation of how much Jesus loves everybody. And if you were to say the littlest bit of criticism of any person, it would make me want to cry, because I knew that Jesus would so hate having anybody criticized. He's not critical, people. That's not a spirit of Jesus. He is so loving. And that love for Jesus is part of that Holy Spirit baptism, that he changes the way we think, he changes the way we speak, he changes the way we respond to people. And that's how we become his witnesses. So be immersed, be soaked, be saturated, be filled. And if you feel you've been leaking, well, come again, we can pray again for you today, and you can be refilled and re-soaked, re-zapped, if you like. For me, it was a zap. I know it's different for different people. And I think that's why it's quite encouraging and helpful for us to hear different stories. I'm just going to ask Rose now if she would come and share her experience with us, because, yes.
Thanks, Rosemary. This is really cool that we can encourage each other like this. I don't look at church much, but this is something I'm really happy to share, because it's true and it's my story and we've all got stories. Here I go. Okay, I believe God can bypass the mind to get to our spirit and our soul, and I reckon he really needs to with me. Those that know me well know that my days are filled with young children and running around and busy family life, so especially Olivia knows, my memory often fails me. I can't even tell you what I did yesterday, let alone last year. I never know where the keys are. In fact, I think I lost them every morning this week to get the kids to school, and the kids knew all about the drama that was. So it's not a sieve, like, it's there, but it's... Dory comes to mind. Anyway, however, my spirit remembers very clearly. So crystal clear, in fact. And this may ring true for you also. It was this time almost 20 years ago when I was a very new Christian. I was studying at Otago University when the Holy Spirit first touched me. I was attending Dunedin Apostolic Church and I just loved it. I joined the worship team and made a few friends. I was still needing to be prodded to come along to church, in fact. Some very dear friends back then kind of, I think they had the nudge to get me along, and they'd sometimes knock on my window on Sunday morning to see if I was awake to come. So yeah, it rung true for me, Rosemary, when you said that you are not holy at the time, but God can see a future for you. So anyway, it was one night at the evening service and I was worshipping God. I remember at the time being in complete awe of him and who he was. I had no idea what to expect. I didn't even know about the Holy Spirit at this stage. And I heard a sound of a bird's wings behind me, to the extent that I was a bit confused and kind of turned to look, but nothing was there. It was behind my right ear, and then it lighted on my shoulder, and from my shoulder down, I just felt entire, like, complete peace surge through my body. And I was filled with complete peace. I was really confused, so afterwards I sought out the pastor, Mike, and asked what went on, and as I mentioned, I was a new Christian, and I had no idea, very little Bible knowledge. I didn't know about Jesus' dove story, Jesus' water baptism, and yeah, let alone any experience of the Holy Spirit. So Mike was really excited and told me that it could be two things. It could be an angel, or it could be the Holy Spirit in the form of a bird. And he told me about Matthew 16, so I just looked that up. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting on him. So over the following days and years, my mind started to kind of, like, at the time it was amazing, and I remember feeling like you, like, days afterwards just thinking, oh, this is amazing. And there was another thing that I wasn't going to mention, but I will, because Anna mentioned in worship this morning about the oil coming down. So there was another time where I was in choir and just worshiping away, and then I just felt this amazing drop of oil, and again, the peace flowing. So I wanted to share that one too. Over the years I thought, oh, that's a bit full on. Like, who do I think I am? Like, Jesus got a dove on his shoulder? Like, why would God choose to do that for me? But actually, why not? You know, God's God. I'm not going to doubt it. My spirit knows it's true. So I just have to say, be quiet mind, just God's bypassed the mind, he's gone straight to my spirit. And God's God, he can do anything he wants. He can touch our soul, bypass our busy minds and give us rest, and he certainly did that. So the scripture I found for that one was, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. So even though it was all those years ago, I mean, here I am 20 years on, don't feel 20 years older, but I do feel as if it was yesterday. You know, and it definitely remains part of my faith story. He woke something up in me that night, something that my spirit can't deny, and I choose to stay awake now. You know, it's not like I'm getting that stuff all the time, but my spirit remembers it, and it will stay with me. And so it's more a matter of choosing to expect more, to know my spirit knows that he can do this. It's part of my story. It's made me who I am, and I choose to expect more for in my spirit for me and for others. So my challenge right now, and I want to encourage us all, is to expect to be touched by the Spirit in any way that God chooses, as it's a gift. And he can, and he will. Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful.
I don't have an awesome story like that. But I did write down some things. Okay, so I'm David. I was a Christian by the age of 6 or 5. Grown up with parents that were very much involved in the church. In fact, they were thrown out of their church because they spoke tongues. So very much been, Holy Spirit's been part of my life all the way through. But I don't have any real lightning encounters, early encounters. So I grew up in South Africa, so we had a African woman that lived with us, looked after my grandmother who had dementia. And when I was born, I came back from the hospital, and she said, she's an old lady, I like to think very wise, and she said to Mum, the Holy Spirit's on this one, when they brought me back. So it's always been there, but I haven't really had that sort of boom. Okay, and then my teenage years were I guess, a real frustration for me, because that was the Toronto blessing, and absolutely everyone was falling over, and I was the only one that fell anyway in the whole church that never, ever fell over. And everyone was doing their shaking, and it was just like God would not do it for me. And I would sit there, and I'd go, and I'd pray, and I'd cry, and I'd, you know, I want to go over, but I was also fiercely determined not to fake it. Yeah. So even with the zealous praying going on, they couldn't get me to go down. So that was, for me, really, really frustrating, that I wanted that experience that I was seeing everyone else have. I knew the Holy Spirit. I just wasn't getting that thing. And so it was a long time of frustration like that. And then probably 4 or 5 years ago, I started watching, so never been without the Holy Spirit, but I started watching the Wimber DVDs. And something snapped inside of me, something clicked. And so I came up for prayer after church. It was just two of us. And I got my zap, and I got my shakes and all the rest, and like Rose was saying, something just changed. And for me, things like words of knowledge and prophecy and praying for people and seeing them being healed started from that point. So there was definitely a point, but it wasn't like there was no Holy Spirit before that. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a bit hard to know where we continue from here, because, you know, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us and touching us right from the worship onwards, hasn't it, today? It's been amazing so far, and there's more to come. I think that both Rosemary and Dave have mentioned there's a diversity in the work of the Spirit. You know, God is so creative. He made us all different. And there's great diversity in how God deals with us too. We're all individuals. And when we start, praying for and seeking after an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we really have to let go. It's not a case of fitting in with a pattern or doing the right thing or doing what expected, because when the Holy Spirit comes, things just happen. I mean, it's not so organized, is it? It's because it's stuff happening very deep within us. And I was just reminded as we were worshiping this morning that the Holy Spirit is a revelation of God's love. I mean, He comes as an instrument of God's love, and my experience of learning about the Holy Spirit, experiencing the Holy Spirit, is to just have this amazing love just poured into me in so many unexpected ways, in a very sort of different sort of person that I was beforehand. So it is just a kind of a healing thing, you know, because this love is so full of peace and joy, that brings a healing in itself and challenges to keep that going, you know, not to shut down. And so I think that today is a pretty special day, because, you know, we can pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time. That's great. And that's what happened on Pentecost Sunday. That's what Pentecost was about. But it's one thing to be baptized in the Spirit, and then we need to go and walk in the Spirit and be filled constantly with the Spirit. And this is a challenge, because there are all sorts of things around us that sort of rob us if we're not careful. There are all sorts of experiences that we have that distract us. And before long, we need to be filled again. You know, we really need to face up to that and just open our hearts to God and just let go and let Him Phyllis again. And so I think that this is a Pentecost Sunday in which there is something for us all, regardless of where we are in our experience of God, and regardless of where we have been, and regardless of what's happened to us, all the good, bad, and different stuff that's happened to us, regardless of all that, God has something more for us today. And I think that's what is so special. And we've got no expectations of what that'll be, except that it'll be good, and it'll be God, and His love is in it, and His power and authority is in it. So I just feel that, you know, this is just a time of freedom. This is a time when we say, come on, people, let's be free. Let's just open our hearts. Let's just let it happen. Let God do the thing that he's been sort of building up towards in our lives. Rosemary talked about how we went around sort of searching for something more, and all this time there was a sort of something building up, but we, you know, we really needed, by the time that outpouring came, you know, we were more than ready, and there was a lot of stuff that needed to be dealt with. So, and was dealt with almost instantly. So, and this is something that I've found we need to do. I mean, we need to keep doing. We need to keep humbling ourselves, earnestly seeking the Spirit, day after day, year after year, and going on. That's the resilience that God puts in us, in our hearts. And it does involve our will. It does involve, God doesn't push himself in. He doesn't take control of us against our will. What he does is he changes our desires. He changes our heart. And so what's happening today is like the will of God and our wills coming together and saying, yes, Lord, today let's be together in this and let what you want to do happen in our lives. So are we ready for that? Are we okay for that? I don't know how it's going to happen, actually, but I think we just let it happen. We can come out here and just let God do what God wants to do, and let the Holy Spirit come. So, Heavenly Father, just pour out the Holy Spirit on us afresh today, Lord. Your life, your light, your presence, oh, the love of God, be poured out upon us in the Holy Spirit today. Do what you want to do, Lord.